Again, Jesus, we thank you that you are present in all the things that we do. And Lord, we ask that the fragrance of your presence would come forth from your word. Lord, that this moment, this time, this event that we celebrate every year and all day every year would be made fresh and alive and new this morning. God, that you make all things new. And Lord, we ask that you would make the preaching of your word and the good news of the resurrection of your son, make that new this morning. Lord, let it pierce our hearts afresh and break them. Lord, let our hearts be soft to you. We bless you for that and thank you for it, Lord Jesus. Amen.
You know, we'll see if it does it here. If it does, I'll just switch. Matthew 3:11. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost and fire. We are going to be spending between now and the day of Pentecost talking about the Holy Spirit. And there is so much wonderful scripture about the Holy Spirit that I think we overlook. And Chad and I will be going back and forth between the churches. And so we're going to do the same sermon in all three churches each week. So we'll be rotating through the churches. And so it fell to me to give sort of an introduction. So I'm going to try to make this as painless as possible. But I want to start. I want to do three things today. I want to, first of all, just say that the Holy Spirit is a person, not an it. The second thing is to share that the Holy Spirit was the power by which Jesus performed all of his works while he was in the earth. It wasn't just Jesus. It was Jesus by the Holy Spirit. And then the third thing I want to share is that same Spirit which raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. And so I'm going to go through those three points pretty quickly and just set our heart to look toward Pentecost 7 weeks from now. And so, Father, as we come to the Word, I want to ask that you would just open up these simple truths, and God, that you would make them real to us, and that you would give us an expectation and a hope. In Jesus' name, amen. If you'll give me a second, I like to preach to people, not crowds. And so, with so many people here, it's hard to focus on people, so I just need to take a second to see your face. If you're a visitor, one of the things we do is when we get up to 150, we split our churches so we can stay small and so we can be people on people. So I can't preach to a crowd. I got to preach to a person. I'm looking for the person that needs it most this morning. And Bill Pittard raised his hand back there. So we got him. So Bill, I'm going to preach to you. Now, I noticed your son Kent moved up here, so he'd be behind me, but I know where you are, brother. Are we all here? Are we here together, jointly knit together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth? Do you love the person next to you? Is the body of Christ being formed in our presence? Hallelujah. Well, I want to start off by just saying the Holy Spirit is a person. He's a little different than us, but he is a person. Let me read a couple of scriptures. Jesus was talking to his disciples before he left, and he was explaining to them how that they would be able to carry on the ministry. And in John 16, verse 13, he says, when he... the Spirit of truth. He, the Spirit of truth, is come. He will guide you in all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that he shall speak, and he will show you things to come. Now, throughout the Gospels, it usually refers to the Spirit of God. But here John does us a favor, and he personalizes it so we understand that the Holy Spirit really is a person. You know, usually when we think of the Holy Spirit, we think of fire, the wind, the water, the dove. And these are all symbols, but they are symbols of a person, the Holy Spirit. Like I said, He's different than us. And from the very beginning, let me just share this with you. We are going to get to know the Holy Spirit in these next few weeks. How many of you all have ever been around somebody that's different than you? If you're sitting in this crowd, you're next to somebody that's different than you, because there's some really different people here. How many of you sometimes are uncomfortable by different people? Now, I was raised Pentecostal, and most of the kids that went to church with me, especially my Catholic buddies, they were pretty uncomfortable when they went to church with me because our people were different. East Tennessee, Eastern Kentucky type Pentecostal. How many of you have been around somebody like that? They're like, oh, hallelujah, yes, brother, woo! And you're kind of like, whoa, he's different. Well, let me tell you, when we get around people that love God and open the Scripture, we're a little uncomfortable. And you know how you kind of try to group together with people that are like you to keep you safe from those different people? Let me tell you, the Holy Spirit is very different. Now listen to me real close. It would be easy to decide that I'm going to stay with people with whom I'm comfortable rather than to hang out with the Holy Spirit, because He will stretch you. He will call you to places that you've never been before. And when you yield to the Spirit of God, you will embarrass yourself. Hello. So let me just tell you one thing about the Holy Spirit, and then we'll move on and we'll talk about how Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit. Don't worry, we're not going to give tongue talking lessons, you know. I'm not going to get everybody to run around. I'm just saying. It could mean some of you wild-eyed Pentecostals, the Spirit of God will come upon you and you will speak eloquently from the Word of God. You'll be like, I don't want to do this. And the Spirit of God will. So I'm not, He's different. So I'd like to go to the first place the Bible talks about the Spirit of God. And in the end, we'll go to the last place that it talks about the Spirit. But the first place it talks about the Spirit of God is in Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. In another version, it says, the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. So the first place that we run into the Holy Spirit, He's hovering. He's hovering. That word's only used three places in the Old Testament. And one of the other places it talks about it is when God hovers over His people like a bird of prey hovers over its children. I've always heard, how many of you all have ever heard, you know the scripture which says that He bore His children up on wings as eagles? When I grew up, there was a story going around that the way an eagle would teach a fledgling to fly is they would kick them out of the nest, and then they would swoop down as they're falling, come underneath them, and then fly to teach them how to fly. How many of you ever heard that? It's not true. It is not true. That's not the way an eagle teaches a fledgling to fly. A fledgling spends 8 to 9 weeks jumping around from limb to limb in the tree near the nest, and then ultimately they open their wings and they fly. Now, if an eaglet did happen to fall, there have been a couple of cases where it has been observed that the parent eagle would save that little eagle. And so the Spirit of God is not, the Word of God is not really talking about the Spirit of God putting you on its back and flying around with you. It's talking about, if you'll go look, watch some videos on YouTube, especially from National Geographic, you'll see that an eagle hovers around for weeks around that little, first of all, the little chick that grows up to be almost as big as the mother eagle. and it's always feeding the eagle, protecting the eagle. There's a great video of an owl that swoops down and tries to take a little eaglet, and the you know, mama eagle just slaps the thing. And so when God creates the earth, the Spirit of God is down there, hovering, ready for whatever needs to be done. And it says, and then God speaks and says, and it was so. So the Spirit of God is hovering in the earth, waiting for God to speak. And when God speaks, the Spirit of God is there and moves in response to the Word of God. Hallelujah. The Spirit of God is hovering here today. The Spirit of God is waiting for two things: for God to speak and for us to respond in faith, so it can move and do exactly what God wants to do in our lives and in the earth. Just to keep it all together, let me say this. In John 1:1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made." And so you've got the Father, you've got the Son, and you've got the Holy Spirit. They are a perfect relationship working together. And we understand the work of the Spirit. That person responds to the Word as it's spoken by the Father, and He loves to do the will of the Father. So He's a person. Just keep that in mind. He's different than you. Keep that in mind. He's hovering, ready to respond to God's desire in the earth. Keep that in mind in these weeks as we cry out to God and say, "God, even so be it unto me," as He declares to us His purpose in the earth, in us and through us. Can I get an amen? Number two, Jesus was baptized in the Holy Spirit. "And Jesus, when He was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened to Him, and He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon Him." Jesus, as He walked in human form, when He was baptized, it was at that point that the Holy Spirit fell on Him. And then it says, very shortly after that, "And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit out into the wilderness." So Jesus has lived for 30 years. He's baptized in water, and then the Holy Spirit comes upon Him, and it says He is led out into the wilderness, where He's tempted of the devil. And in every point, like we have been tempted, He was tempted in kind, and then in actuality later on, He continues to be tempted, but He was led there by the Holy Spirit. And then it says, "And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit unto Galilee." So it's very important that we understand that Jesus, as a man, understood that He received the Holy Spirit at baptism, and then He began to be led of the Spirit through temptation and back into His ministry. One other verse I'll share with you, and then I'm going to go on to the fact that Jesus wants to baptize us in the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, Matthew 12:28, "If I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come among you." Very simply, the point I want to pull from that is Jesus had cast out a demon, and they were accusing Him of being used of the devil. And He said, "If I cast out demons by the Spirit of God." And so Jesus understood, as He walked in the earth, that everything He did was by the Spirit of God. You've got to understand, His relationship to the Father while He walked in the earth was through the Holy Spirit. The reason that's important is He passes that on to us, and that is the way we live. We live in relationship to the Father through the finished work of the cross that we celebrate today, by the Holy Spirit. And we need to learn to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. So, let me go through real quick some of the things that Jesus did by the Holy Spirit. First of all, remember when Mary first heard about the fact that she was with child, God, the angel spoke to her and said, that you are with child by what? The Holy Spirit. Jesus began his existence because the Holy Spirit moved in Mary. And then, just to recount some of the different miracles, he healed blind people. Remember the guy, he spit in the ground and made mud, put it in his eyes, and said, go wash in the pool of Siloam. He goes, he washes, and he can see. Another guy was blind. Jesus healed him, and he got in trouble. You remember that one? Lepers. Remember the lepers? One, he healed and told him to go and give the offering that's necessary for cleaning. And he said, don't tell anybody. And that leper went and told everybody. The paralyzed guy that was on the mat, remember him? By the Holy Spirit, Jesus spoke to him and he stood up and walked. Remember the woman that had spent everything on doctors? By the Holy Spirit, Jesus cleared up her issue of blood, and then he moved on and caused Jairus' daughter to be risen from the dead. Remember when he healed Peter's mother? It was by the Holy Spirit. He caused the lame to walk, the blind to see. Remember the deaf man? He touched his ear, spit on the ground, touched his tongue. His tongue was loosed, and he began to speak and hear and to glorify God. All of that was because Jesus had been baptized in the Holy Spirit and knew how to cooperate with God's will as it was expressed by the Spirit. You got to remember that. Jesus lived by the Spirit of God. The last miracle that Jesus did before he was crucified. Does anybody know what that is? He healed the ear. They were in the garden. Peter cut off the ear of Malchus or Malchus. Jesus picked it up and stuck it back on his head by the Holy Spirit. In addition to all of those healings, there were also exorcisms. He cast out demons everywhere he went. Remember that guy who was absolutely insane over in the Gadarene demoniac? Chains could not even hold him. Jesus spoke to him, cast those demons out. They went into the swine and into the sea. And that guy began to preach the gospel. In addition to that, Jesus had authority over the water. He had authority over food. He had authority over the wind by the Holy Spirit. He moved. God's purposes came to pass in those needy people because he yielded to the will of God by the Holy Spirit. All right? It's important that we keep that in mind, that it was by the Holy Spirit that Jesus cast out those demons. Now, one of the reasons that, at least in the discussion, at least I think it was true with Ben, Chad, and myself. You know, I appreciate all the great teaching that we get around here. I appreciate all the books that we have. But I have a sense that we need the power of God. I think we need to cast some demons out of some drug-addicted people and some people who have been captured into the depths of depression. They need more than just a pill. They need the gospel. They need the Holy Spirit to set them free. I know a lot of people that have been healed by doctors. We got some great doctors in here. And I thank God that some of the greater works that we do are because we have people who research in the medical field. But you know what? I think we need the Spirit of God to begin to move, to heal some things that we've not been able to heal. Hallelujah. And there's some other things that I believe we need the anointing of God for. And we need to get in touch with the Word of God and yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit and learn how to cooperate with the Holy Spirit just like Jesus did. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So he was birthed by the Spirit. He did his miracles by the Spirit. And guess what? It was the Spirit of God that brought Jesus back from the dead. Over in Romans chapter 8 it says, if the same Spirit which raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. There is a Holy Spirit that is hovering in the earth. With Jesus, he cooperated with that presence of the Spirit of God, healed the sick, gave sight to the blind, set people free from their addictions, and overcame death. Hallelujah. Here's the verse I read in the beginning. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. The precursor to Jesus, John the Baptist, comes preaching. And yeah, we are told that he is Emmanuel, God with us. He is named Jesus, which means Yahweh saves. We are told that he'll be the Savior of the whole world, that the gospel has come. But in the proclamation that John declares, he says he's coming. And yes, he's going to do all that. And after he does that, because he's done that, he can ascend into heaven, and then he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and, like my preacher used to say, fire! Hallelujah! Jesus came, accomplished a work on the cross that connected us back to God for this reason, that he could send the Holy Spirit into our lives and we could live the same life that he lived while he was here as a man. Somebody say praise the Lord. We are made alive by the Spirit of God. After the kindness and love of God, our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we've done, but according to his mercy he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. If you've been born again, the Holy Spirit has come into your life and has regenerated you and it has renewed you in response to the work of Jesus Christ. It was accomplished as he submitted himself to death and allowed the Spirit of God to resurrect him from that death. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And so it's written, the first Adam was made a living soul, but the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Christ came to bring our spirit back to life in relationship with the Spirit of God. And so two things happen. Jesus, it tells us, number one, that he was a high priest that was touched with every single temptation that we faced, yet without sin. He did that by the Holy Spirit. And then number two, we read about all the miracles that he did as a witness to the kingdom of God. And so when Jesus speaks to them there in the book of Acts, he's getting ready to tell them that another person's going to come. He's going to leave, but another person's going to come, and this is the Holy Spirit. And he says, you shall receive power after that he, the Holy Spirit, has come upon you to be witnesses to me in all the earth. See, Jesus was willing to come and die and to suffer so that he could redeem us, send the Holy Spirit, and then we could take the glory and the kingdom of God into all the earth by that Holy Spirit. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. I would love to unpack that, but just in short, Jesus said, the Spirit's coming, but it can't come yet. First, I must die. My blood must be shed. I must present it in heaven. Then you'll be purified. Then the Holy Spirit can come and live inside of you. And then when that happens, you will be able to go into all the world by that power and be a witness unto me. That witness comes in two ways. Romans, first of all, Romans chapter 8 says this. They that are in the flesh cannot please God, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if any man does not have the Spirit of Christ, he's not of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. And if Christ be in you, the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. If you will go and read Romans chapter 6, 7, and 8, you will find the question there is, shall we continue in sin? The answer is, God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? And the explanation that follows tells you this: the Spirit of God now lives inside of you. The very Spirit that raised Christ from the dead quickens your body, and you are able to live a life free from sin. By the Spirit of God. Not by the flesh, but by the Spirit of God. You shall be witnesses unto me in all the world. Now, let me do this real quick. Sin is basically doing the unloving thing. All of sin. And the law boils down to this: love God and love your neighbor as yourself. How many of you believe that the Spirit of God is able to quicken you and to strengthen you and to give you power and authority over sin? That's why Jesus came, was to destroy the works of the devil. Now, I thank God that I haven't sinned since probably page 2 or 3. But I believe that God is able to perfect that which He began in me. And I believe the Spirit of God has quickened me, and I'm on a journey to become like Jesus. He was tempted in all points and overcame. And I believe that the Spirit of God, when I was filled with the Spirit of God, when Christ came into me, that same Spirit that delivered Him from sin when He was out in the wilderness is delivering me. And I'm learning to cooperate with that. Hello. But the second place that we become a witness, not only a life of love. Sometimes I know what I'm doing. Not very often. But if I want to talk to people who don't believe you can live free from sin, I talk to them about living a life of love and they'll say amen. It's the same thing. It's inseparable. And God is moving us toward deeper and more perfected love. But in addition to that, the same Spirit that healed the sick, the same Spirit that set people free from demons, the same Spirit that caused the winds to cease, the fish to multiply, lives inside of you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now, I am aware of all the reasons for cynicism and doubt and fear of charlatans. But folks, we can't let our fear of charlatans separate us from the person of the Holy Spirit who wants to do greater works. We can think of 100 reasons to be shy and to pull away from stuff that has ripped people off. But we have been called to pursue the Word of God and to live it and to allow God to move in the earth. See, it's that other side. If you ask anything in my name, God has a will and a purpose in the earth. And the Spirit of God is hovering. We've got to get past our fear and our doubt. And if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Hello. When's the last time you asked God to do something that you couldn't do? When's the last time you believed God to do something that you didn't think He could do? It is time for us to put away our cynicism because what others have done It's time for us to put away our doubt because of the way reason has ruled over the Spirit and submit ourselves and yield ourselves to the hovering Spirit of the presence of God who desires one thing, and that is to see God glorified. This follows through the last place the Spirit of God is mentioned in the Bible, at least as you walk through the Bible. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root, the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. The Spirit and the bride say, come. The Spirit of God begins hovering, being obedient to the Word of God, and shaping the earth. In the end, the Spirit of God dwells in the people of God. And together with the Spirit of God, we're saying, come. Come, all ye that are heavy laden. Come, ye that have burdens, and you will find rest. The ministry of the Spirit of God is to draw people back into the family of God. He wants to do it by lives of love, by lives of power, by lives of faith. All accomplished, just like it was accomplished in Jesus. We are birthed by the will of God through the Spirit, and we experience resurrection life according to the will of God by the Spirit. That's who we are. That's what we celebrate today. Christ has made it possible for God to get us back on the program. Can you imagine? Can you imagine a shipwreck? And if any of you all are old Last Days fans, you'll know where I got this picture in my head. But a shipwreck where a large ship has wrecked, and people are floating around, and people are getting up on the dock, and there's life preservers and ropes and there's still crowds out there, and one guy finally gets up and he sees everybody else on the dock, and he says, oh, I thought I was going to die, but I'm saved. So wonderful, I'm saved. I was lost, but now I'm found. And I thought I was going to go under. So beautiful. I can live my life now. I love chili. I can eat chili. I thought I'd never go fishing again. I thought I'd never see my wife again, but I'm saved, and it's so wonderful. Oh, let's just talk about how wonderful it is that we're saved. It's so wonderful. And there's ropes, and there's life preservers, and people drowning. We are saved from the life that's centered on us. And we are delivered into the power of God so we can get back with what we were created for. And that is declaring the kingdom of God through power, through presence, through love, by the Holy Spirit. And so I'm going to close with a prayer. It's out of Ephesians. And I guess we'll have the worship team come on up. This is Ephesians 1, 17 through 23. So we're going into these 7 weeks of trying to be open to this person that's a little different than us. And please, let me say this very clearly. Please don't presume that you know the personality of the Holy Spirit. Don't decide in your head right now what it's going to look like as the Spirit of God moves. I don't care which extreme you're at. When He moves, He moves. And we have to be open. You know how when you're with a person different than you and they do stuff, you're like, oh, you don't do it that way. Oh, that's weird. And you try to conform them to your image, yeah? I think we've done that with the Holy Spirit. I think we've tried to conform Him to our image. And we need to allow Him to get us out of our comfort zone and to begin to use us in places that we would not have gone if it wasn't for His presence in our life. So here's the closing prayer. Ephesians 1, 17 through 23. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that he may know what is the hope of his calling and the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all things. Christ is risen. Hallelujah. Let's worship.